Back-to-back weeks, Paul has gone into towns in what is now Greece and Turkey and preached the gospel. He has gone to synagogues, to places where the faithful Jews gather and teach and study and worship, and he has stirred the pot. Last week, by the time it was come to write to the church at Thessalonica later, they had glowing reviews. They were faithful people. They were well done. And then we get to the church at Corinth this week. Both of these churches are founded the same way. Paul upsets the apple cart. There are police involved. Last week they went to Jason's house looking for Paul and Silas and couldn't find them, so they drug Jason before the authorities. This week, they managed to get Paul there himself. And in language that might sound familiar, the Roman ruler, the Roman leader, says, "I don't want to have a thing to do with your religious debate." You may remember Pilate saying something along those lines. And he turns Paul loose. Sometime later. We don't know how much later. We don't know exactly how Paul hears this. We get the sense in the passage that Paul has ears on the ground in Corinth because Chloe's people are saying, "You people are not well behaved." Some of you say you belong to Cephas, to Paul, some to Apollos, some to Christ. Here's your equivalent verse for First Presbyterian. But some of you belong to Olive Haynes. And some of you belong to Paul Johnston, and some of you even belong to Joe Van Roekel, right? Maybe even Dan Whitfield. Maybe. Nah, that's a crazy thought, right? I mean, that's how it would sound today, but that's not unusual. When we talk about churches, I can't tell you how many times somebody has explained where they go to church and that they go to Wade's church. Right? Sometimes it's how we do our geography of faith. We're the church down by the high school, as though we're the only one, as though there's not one 100 feet that way. But we're the church down by the high school when we explain where we are. We're the church down by the high school. Yes. We're not proud about that at all, can you tell? And we do a lot of things well. And at the same time, we disagree. This passage in Corinth is a great passage for the church because so often we choose to disagree without being disagreeable. But we choose not to have the conversation at all. So, what divides us? We know the short, we know the long, we know the big, we know the grand. What divides us? Well, red state, blue state stuff divides us. Right? Money or lack thereof divides us. Age divides us. The economy divides us. Theology divides us. Priorities divide us. Who comes first divides us. We know that. I think the fundamental question is what Paul is going to get into at great length in this letter to the church at Corinth is, do we get that we can't just slice off pieces? Paul's going to describe us as parts of the body. And he is rather poetic in that description and yet rather insistent that you have to be what you are because we need all of it. We need all of it. We like in the church treasurers who are detail-oriented, who want to know down to the last penny how much money we have. We really don't necessarily need our youth group leader to have that same personality. But our youth group leader who is flexible and relates to the kids well and is filled with exuberance and joy generally doesn't balance the books real well. Right? What divides us? Well, lots of things divide us. What unites us? And the kids got it right. What it takes to have a church is to have believers in Jesus Christ. That's what it takes to have a church. I'm optional. The building is optional. The sound system is optional. The piano, the organ, the people to play them are optional. What is not optional is the gospel made real in the lives of people. Now, we're going to have discussions, if we're a faithful church, about what that looks like, because the gospel doesn't necessarily look the same to all of us. It doesn't sound the same. Last week, we talked about that moment of turmoil. I gave you images to think about. And those were grand-scale images. They were the assassination of JFK. They were Challenger exploding. They were 9/11. A lot of us are in turmoil because the stock market is down. We're in turmoil because our hours are cut. We're in turmoil because people we love are in turmoil. That doesn't make the news, right? That's not splashed all over the front page, thank God. But it's just as real. How we perceive God responding in our turmoil often dictates how we will respond in faith later. Almost every church youth worker I know came from what they would describe as a great youth program. For some reason, you don't get youth workers who come out of lousy or non-existent youth work programs. What unites us is the big picture of Jesus Christ, not always the details. So, every one of us is not going to go on a mission trip to New Orleans to help Colleen out, to help rebuild New Orleans. Every one of us is not going to make that trip. Some of us will put our lives in Dan Seelock's hands as he barrels down the interstate. Some of us will hold things while Tim saws them with a circular saw and hope that we have the same number of fingers at the end as when we started. And the rest of you hopefully will pray for us. Because we as a whole recognize that there is value in living out the faith that Christ calls each of us to. In seminary, probably 10% of my seminary class was former youth pastors. They were former youth pastors who had aged out of sleeping on the floor, but who were still called to ministry. Now, we are exceptionally thankful, as Tim reminded us this morning in his announcement, that Gala chooses to spend 36 Sundays a year with our kids. That doesn't mean that we all want to be the next Gala. Doesn't mean the church is ready for two galas. Can we find unity in celebrating where God is calling each of us to be and serve? Or does it have to look like what I think it has to look like? All of you should be in seminary. All of you, definitely. Especially the PK over there on the end. Right? There's not one way to do this. Which is our way? Can we cheer one another on in faith to do a variety of things that we are called to do, or do we believe there's only one path and one pace and one set way to go? The reason they're arguing in Corinth is because some of them like Apollos better than like Paul, better than they like Cephas, Peter. Doesn't matter, does it? Look at the history of this church. We have a history of starting things. Okay? We are currently nesting our fourth congregation in the history of this church. We have nested the Episcopalians. We have nested the Lutherans. We have nested Pillar of Fire, and before that, Fight the Good Fight of Faith. We're not involved in the day-to-day operations of any of those churches, yet they started here. Tim, our resident historian on some of this stuff from the 12-year-old's perspective, reminds us that Habitat started here. Lighthouse Shelter had a piece of its start here. That insignificant little thing we talk about infrequently, Marian Medical Mission, right, had its start here. And from here, they have gone on to do what?
Impossible.
We even know there's only one word to describe it, right? So Habitat of Marian is now Habitat of Williamson County, and it is building homes in Heron and in Marian. You know, that's really not what we started it to be. And it's just horrible that they have reached out to another community to combat homelessness, isn't it? It's just horribly atrocious. Can we be more than we are today? Can we start it and let it grow? Or does it have to be our way? That's an important piece of what Paul is getting at here. We are going to grow. What that looks like? Who knows? We are 109 years old this year. Nobody who was a charter member is still here. We're all completely different. What a failure. We couldn't keep any of our original members just for the first 110 years. What will we be in 50 years? What will we be in 109 more years? I'm not thinking I'm going to see any of you but Vivian. I'd put money on Vivian. It'll be different. Will it be faithful? Can we find a way to unite and celebrate about the faithful service of the people of God, even if it's not ours? To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.